Grace, mercy, and peace to you from our Lord and from our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for our message this morning is our gospel reading from Mark chapter 16. In verse 6, the angel said to the women, "Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here." This is our text. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. The very first words out of the angel's mouth when the women walked into the empty tomb on that early morning was this: "Do not be alarmed." Sure, you and I probably are thinking, that would be easy for you to say, Mr. Angel, but then there is reality. I mean, verse 8 finishes this text with a description of what seems to be, I think, just a bit more realistic. "And they went out and fled from the tomb, for trembling and astonishment had seized them, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid." Now, how many of us, if we had been there that morning, would have acted any differently than those women? I think we probably all would have been astonished. These ladies were trembling. They were astonished. They were afraid. Why? Well, let's see. Normally, those emotions, this kind of reaction, comes because of some kind of tragedy. After a loved one has just died, for example. Is that it? Well, yes. But no! The message they just heard, number one, just came from an actual angel of God. And number two, he just proclaimed, "You seek Jesus of Nazareth who was crucified. He has risen." So, let me ask you this. Which would cause you more confusion, more bewilderment? To learn that someone whom you loved greatly has just died? I mean, many of us have been through that horror, myself included. Or to learn that someone that you loved intensely, someone whom you saw bloodied and pierced and crucified and buried in a tomb not more than 36 to 40 hours ago, has just come back to life. What would be more confusing? To hear of a death or to hear about a resurrection? You and I both know which of those causes more pain. But what is more unexpected? What is more confusing and, frankly, unsettling? To those of us who have been Christians for all or most of our lives, it can actually seem strange at first when we see people respond with bewilderment, with reluctance at the Easter message. But if we just take a moment and really think about what the message of the resurrection actually means, it truly is a life-jarring message, especially if it is the first time that someone hears it. And that's the point that I pray all of us might seriously consider and share and apply into our lives here this morning. The fact that Christ's resurrection is, even if you've heard it year after year on Easter Sunday all of your life, Christ's resurrection is a life-jarring, a startling new reality for us all. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. These three women that went to Jesus' tomb early on the third day after Jesus had died were also there at the cross on that dark Friday afternoon. His death brought them great sorrow and disappointment. There is no question that they found it almost impossible to believe, I bet, that this kind, loving Jesus could be hated, could be killed, by the so-called leaders of their church. It was likely not the death itself that startled them. They were very familiar with death. At that time, in the ancient world, depending upon a family's station in society, 30 to 40% of infants did not survive. And the average life expectancy was less than 40 years of age. The majority in this room would already be dead. Now, there is no doubt that these women had significant and intimate experience at what they had come to do when they encountered the angel there at Jesus' tomb. They were faithfully coming to put spices on Jesus' corpse, the common protocol for handling a dead body in that day. You see, there were no nice, sterile funeral homes, no licensed morticians at that time. So whether they enjoyed it or not didn't matter. They were used to handling dead bodies, and they were used to death. Today, we spend a lot of money and go to great lengths to have other people make the dead bodies of our loved ones look as lifelike as possible. It's one of the ways that we try to help us deal with the pain of death. But as hard as that is, and no matter how much we try to avoid it, death is still not unexpected for us, is it? Especially when people are more advanced in age, death becomes an all too common part of life. The older we get, the more we see many of our friends and family go before us. And so, it doesn't surprise us to see or hear of people dying, to learn in the news about sad, tragic ends of life. And the Bible, it doesn't shy away from the stark reality of death either, that death comes to all people because all people sin. Romans 6:23 says the wages of sin is death. And Ezekiel 18, verse 4, proclaims, the soul who sins shall die. No, death is not a surprise to any of us. But now, let's talk about what is surprising, what is a great shock to our normal reality. It's the idea, just the idea, of a resurrection. While death is normal, resurrection is just plain strange to us all. Life coming out of death? Having a dead loved one come back to life and walk on this earth in the same body he had before? Eat food and talk to people as Jesus did? Paul said in verse 6 of our epistle reading that Jesus, quote, appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time after he had been raised. Now that is different. That is startling. I've never seen it. Have any of you? All right, we're in the same boat. And still, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. When these women reported to the other disciples what the angel told them, Luke's gospel tells us that the disciples just couldn't believe it. Honestly, if you had been one of those who heard these ladies return with their report, would you believe it? It didn't seem right. Someone rising from the dead. Jesus, though, he tried to tell them before his death that he would rise, but that message did not register, did not make sense in their thinking. A couple chapters earlier in Mark chapter 14, verses 27 and 28, only hours before his arrest, Jesus told them on the Mount of Olives, "You will all fall away, for it is written, I will strike the shepherd and the sheep will be scattered. But after I am raised up, I will go before you to Galilee." That is why it is so significant that the angel reminded the women, he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you. Now, this is not God sending his angel to say, I told you so. No. It sets the stage for when Jesus did appear to the disciples. He had to be very intentional, very obvious in how he demonstrated to all that it really was him. That he really did physically, in the flesh, rise from the dead. A couple examples. Remember Jesus directing Thomas to put his hand physically into his wounds? And Jesus eating breakfast with the disciples on the shore so that they could see that the food did not just fall down to the ground because he was a ghost? No, it really was Jesus. He really did come back to life. And still, I'm sure that the disciples didn't realize right away the huge impact this would have on their lives. They just knew that it now made life really different. But later, they did come to understand what a startling new reality had been unleashed. What a life-changing dynamic was now affecting every single bit of their lives. And it's the same for every one of us here who believes that Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Ponder this for a moment, dear Christians. How does this actually impact your life? Jesus' resurrection means right now that all of your sin, all of it, is forgiven. His resurrection proved that his death in your place was sufficient to pay for every tiny, itty-bitty bit of your sin. Jesus' resurrection also means that you too will rise from the dead. As Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 15:20, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. But that's even not all. Jesus' resurrection means that everything, and I mean everything about your life right now, has changed. First, your life is entirely new now. Where before Christ's victory over sin and death, your future was bleak and dark and depressing. Now, you have an absolute hope based on the new reality that even death cannot disappoint. Death cannot have its victory. Every day, right now, you live with the certainty that Job inspired in that great Easter hymn, I know that my Redeemer lives, to bless me with his love, to help in time of need, to grant me rich supply, to guide me with his eye, to hear my soul's complaint, to wipe away my tears. And the rest of that hymn. And oh well, you can't fail to celebrate the great promise of why the resurrected Jesus returned to heaven ahead of us. My mansion to prepare. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Personally, when I think of this new resurrection reality revealed here for us by the experience of these women, I can't help but be reminded of so many wonderful, faithful Christians at funerals. In a very real sense, that is what's happening when these three women went to prepare Jesus' body for burial. Just think about the comparison. Those who are grieving gather at the church, often to view their loved one's body for the last time. The pain of death, the emotions of grief, they are a heavy, heavy weight. The immediate family and those closest to the person have had to make many preparations in only a few days. It is a stressful time. Many of us have been through it, sometimes more than once. But then, once the casket is closed, they come into the sanctuary. Their minds are on the loved one that they are now missing, on how life must go on without that dear departed spouse or parent or sibling or friend. But then they hear a startling message right at the very beginning of the service. It begins with Paul's words from Romans chapter 6. We were buried, therefore, with Jesus by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. And the service continues with songs of comfort and assurance. Songs like Amazing Grace and How Great Thou Art. Often including that great Easter hymn that I talked about, I Know That My Redeemer Lives. And then, as the preacher proclaims the promise of Christ's resurrection to these grieving believers, God works an amazing miracle. They begin to adjust to the new, incredible reality of death being defeated. For their loved ones who died in the faith, and for them as well. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. You see, this is the new life that comes from the resurrection of Jesus. This is how we believe in Christ and how we now approach everything, funerals included, in a new, fresh, glorious way. No longer do we need to think in terms of avoiding the reality of death. No more are we concerned about pushing thoughts or fears of judgment day out of our minds. These don't frighten us. These do not worry us any longer. Jesus has it all in hand for us. Jesus did rise from the dead just as he said. In his resurrection, You have the promise of new life, of eternal life, with our grand and glorious and loving God. It's a new way of life, a wonderfully new way of thinking that is now the norm for us every day, starting today, if it hasn't already. And why? Because of Jesus. He changed everything when he rose from the dead. By the Holy Spirit's power working through his gift of faith, you can get used to this entirely new way of life. And it's a wonderful life. Because yours is a new life now, in which the hope and the peace of God truly does surpass all of our old human ways of understanding. How is this startling new reality even possible? Why can we be so certain about it? You already know. Because Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, will guard your hearts and minds and keep you in the risen Lord Jesus Christ today and forever. Amen.